Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Yeah, still humid, no? I think after the Purnima, it'll go away. Means this is today's Amavasya, so then another 15 days the Purnima. But I think it already starts to cool down as it gets, yeah. So after the Purnima, then you'll see it'll be that Hemanta. That morning's cold, day's pleasant.
Purnima's first day of Kartik.
Yes. So Kartik will be like that. Because sometimes Kartik's a little warm in the beginning, then it gets pleasant, but this time it'll start off pleasant and get a little colder.
They have snow in many parts of the world already.
Snow for Kartik. No, it's not even Kartik yet. Yeah, that's pretty
fun.
Canada has snow.
Already.
Okay. I guess better than forest fires, but...
Balance is better. We could lend them a few more degrees from here.
Yeah. Remember, I think Bhakti Vijayananda Maharaj? You ever knew him? He was like an associate of Subag Maharaj. He was from Malaysia.
Oh, yes.
So where in Malaysia, I'm not sure. But for him, there's only one temperature. There's a 2-degree difference between summer and winter. You know? So he couldn't relate to Mayapur. For him was freezing, you know. I mean, it gets cold, but the day, you know, he was like all wrapped up and everything. So, because where he's from, it never gets, you know. You have your shirt on and that's it. You don't need anything more. You know, it rains, you have an umbrella, and if it doesn't, then you don't. You know. Okay, so then, introduction to Natya Shastra. Okay. Page 6. Chapter 22 gives an elaborate account of the vrittis. Chapter 20, vrittis are?
The four styles of presentation.
Oh, okay.
Graceful and grandeur, graceful and intimate.
Okay. Chapter 23 deals with Aharya Abhinaya, which covers makeup, costume properties, max and minimal stage...
Decor.
Are you written it in Sanskrit? That's pretty far out. I'm thinking, wow, that's impressive. But then that would be dechor. You'd have to put a K. Decor. Yeah, like that, like you put some detail here, you can do that with the vrittis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chapter 24 begins with Samanya, or common Abhinaya, which composes the four elements of Abhinaya harmoniously. Abhinaya means the facial expressions and all those kinds of things. It discusses other aspects of production too, which may be viewed as inner, adhering to prescribed norms and systematic training, and outer, or done freely outside such a regime. Or regimen. Okay. Chapter 25 enumerates the types of characters in Sanskrit drama. Chapter 26 deals with Chitra Binaya. In other words, pictured acting, especially meant for delineating the environment occurring as a stimulant or udipana vibhava of different bhavas. Oh, so where you explain the environment even though it's not there. Mm. Yeah, because they have a nice system. It's that modern, if you want to have, you know, a particular stage, you have to actually build it. And then the problem comes is if you have the, you know, the ability, you have that, how you say, inspiration, you have that kind of money, you have that kind of craftsman, then you can do something amazing. But generally speaking, nothing's better than your mind at creating something nice. Right? So then an actor would come out and describe the scenery. But how they do it, they don't just come out, yes, it is a very nice garden here. There are so many flowers. You know, they don't say it in Hungarian, right? They come out and they say it by, you know, expressing what's here and pointing out and down here, you know, and all these different things. And then by them going around the stage, then you've set the scene, right? Then all those different things are there. Now when others come on, and they mention about things, and you know, it just adds to it. So they don't have to create a stage, you know, a scenery. They only, how much is necessary. Like if someone's going to sit, you do need a chair, like that. Does that make sense? You know, so, you know, it's not like they're, how you say, martial artists that can just sit there like they're in a chair and they're not in a chair, right? You know, so it has to be that. So a few props. So they're more props than the stage. And then you'll have the areas of the stage and all that, so that will create. But still, the scenery doesn't, because from one to the next. Because in this, you can have instant change. Well, in the modern, you have to close the curtain and move everything and then open the curtain again. And hopefully, you know, to do it very quickly, so it has to be very well made. You have to have tons of people to work on it, to do such quick change and everything. And if something goes wrong, then you have a problem. You know, sandbag drops off and, you know, something drops on someone's head, or, you know, they can't get the winch to work, so, you know, the goddess won't come up to the floor, you know, stuff like that. Then they have a problem. But here, they don't do that. They can end one scene and start the next one. You can see the one walking off and the other walking on. It's very far out.
Also, yes. It's mentioned the actors who need to create that impression of the scene happening through their gait, uh-huh, how they're walking and all.
Yeah.
And also, I think, like, because so many other people present, even they are not visible, that mood is gone already. Like, when we perform drama, sometimes when we see workers are working behind, and the whole mood is like...
Oh, you mean for the actors themselves?
Actors and even the audience. There is some tension, like...
Yeah. Well, generally, if you do it nicely, the audience can't see. But you can see. You know, because you're there, everything's open up, and you can see all the wings, and you can see the guys over there, you know, goofing and laughing and stuff like that. And, you know, when you're going, there's this particular lever there, and if you left that, it drops something down, and then they'll be seeing, they go like this, and then, you know, you get a shock. And, you know, they take pleasure in disturbing the actors, so you don't get that. Yes, in the Vedic, you miss all that out. so much, you know, how you say, aparasa, that you miss out on in the Vedic dramas. It also defines the specific ways of expressing different objects and states. Like if you want to express an object, there's a certain way to do it, that it gives it that particular flavor. Right, because that object has a particular meaning in its interaction in human society, so it has to be respected in that way and dealt with to bring that out. The different objects and states, and the use of gestures, postures, gaits, walking, and theatrical conventions. The next chapter, 27, presents the nature of dramatis personae. The principles of makeup, and speak about the process and philosophy of performance. I thought you said that they only had chapters up to 26 and 27 and 8 where others were sound.
28 onwards is from music, Maharaj.
Oh, but that's not part of the... Oh, you mean...
37, 38, that
was. 36. Oh, 30, oh, 36. Oh, okay. The chapters 28 to 34 deal with the concept of music and various musical instruments used in a drama. Chapter 10:28 deals with the music employed in theater, which covers shruti, or micro intervals, swara, or notes, grama, or scales, and murchana, or modes, now called ragas. Chapter 29 describes stringed instruments, like the veena, and distinguishes between vocal and instrumental music, further dividing vocal into two types, varna, or color only, syllabic, and giti, or songs with lyrics. Chapter 30 describes wind instruments like the flute and ways of playing it. Chapter 31 deals with cymbals and tal, rhythm, and metrical cycles. Chapter 32 defines dhruva songs, their specific employment forms and illustrations. Chapter 33 lists the qualities and defects of vocalists and instrumentalists. Chapter 34 relates the origin and nature of drums. The concluding two chapters lay down the principles for distributing roles and the qualifications for members of the troupe. Right, so not just anybody gets to do anything. Right? Like, you know, in other words, the guy who's playing Judas can't suddenly decide he wants to sing Jesus' song. Right? So that's why, you know, who gets what. Bharata narrates the story of how Drama descended to the earth because of his sons being cursed by the sages. Bharata ends his Natya Shastra by stating the glory of theater. Conclusion. Natya Shastra remained an important text in the fine arts for many centuries, whilst influencing much of the terminology and structure of the classical dance and music of various regional traditions of theater. Just as Panini standardized the classical form of Sanskrit language, Bharata's Natya Shastra standardized the classical form of drama. Thus, Natya Shastra can be considered as the foremost text in the field of performance arts. But so these things are revealed, and then he happens to be the person who they're revealed through. Right? So then he becomes the prominent, just like Chanakya becomes the one who the Artha Shastra is revealed through. And that. So the 14 books of knowledge, they're there. That knowledge is there, but as each book is unlimited. So how much is revealed and how much is maintained, and that, you know, by the arrangement is there, and different personalities do this. So Bharata must be a standard person. So in every, you know, age, then Bharata will be, there'll be a living entity called Bharata who will do this. But depending upon, you know, the day or whatever it is like that, then there may be, you know, a little bit more, a little bit less. So even they're talking about it may have been 12,000 verses. That doesn't mean this time around. That could have been last time. Or on the first day of Brahma, or, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Or, you know, in the earlier ages they had that. But as you come towards Kali Yuga, it gets less. So,
there is no connection between this Bharata and Maharaj.
No. This is a different Bharat. This is Bharat Muni. And that was Bharat Maharaj. So, the first part, Bharat and M. So if you see Bharat M dot, then you may get confused. But if you just see the letter after that, one will be a Ma and one will be a Mu. So, but it's not that Bharat Muni wouldn't do a drama on Bharat Maharaj. That would be a very interesting drama. Chapter 1, Origin of Natya Veda. Adhyaya Prakashika. Oh, you didn't do the one. This the general. Is that the Shloka Anushari, say verse 1 to 5, sages question Bharata Muni 16? Yeah, because I was thinking, wow, this is a very elaborate Shloka Anushari here.
Oh yeah, only the headings have to first
time. Yeah, after that, so that we know how much is there. We get to kind of see the flow of it. Adhyaya Prakashika. Natya Shastra is a treatise based on the conversation between Bharata Muni and the sages headed by Atreya Rishi. Atreya Rishi means the Brahma's son.
Yeah.
The sages inquire from Bharata Muni, the compiler of Natya Shastra, about the origin of Natya Veda in the material world. Also, they question him about the contents of Natya Shastra and their application. In reply to the questions put forward by the sages, in this chapter, Bharata Muni explains about the origin of Natya Shastra and the first dramatic performance in the heavenly planets. He also reasons for the necessity of a playhouse, dramatic drama theater construction, playhouse construction, and importance of offering worship to the demigods before dramatic performance. He also enlists the characteristics of a good dramatic performance. This chapter, in essence, provides the basis for further discussion on the contents of Natya Shastra, such as drama, music, dance, etc. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 5. Sages questioned Bharat Muni. In the days of yore, the high-souled sages such as Atreya and others who had subsided their senses approached the pious Bharata and respectfully inquired from him, O Brahmana, how did the Natya Shastra, which you have properly composed, originate? And for whom is it meant? How many limbs does it possess? What is its extent and how it is to be applied? Please speak to us in detail about it all. Right, so that will be the whole point that is there. So then you see is that you have these sages inquired from Bharat Muni, that and you see is that they have their senses controlled, right? So therefore this knowledge is not just for those who don't have their senses controlled. People who don't necessarily have it so well controlled can be engaged in this under the direction of somebody who does. Right? So this idea that theater is just, oh, you just express and you just do and whatever you feel and drive everybody crazy, that's not actually the position. You know? It has to be within the constraints of the performance. And then he's properly composed it, so they're establishing that this is appropriate. They're not doubting it like that. So where did it originate? So what's its source? What's the reason for it? And for whom it is meant, who's supposed to be, who is the audience, who is everything, and then what are all the branches that are there that it contains? Because it may have a very specific number of branches, or it may have a very large amount of branches, you know, like this. So they want to know what's the range of this knowledge, you know, and then within that, what's the detail it goes into? So you say music, how much detail does it go into in there, right? And how is it to be applied? So it only becomes a science when you can apply it. Right? You see the arts and sciences that Krishna learned? So the art is that knowledge of it. The science is the ability to apply it. Does that make sense? No? Doesn't make sense.
I was thinking the science comes first and then...
You have the science and then you have the art there. That's theirs. The knowledge is the science. But then when you apply it, then you can say it's a proper science. Just like, let's say, in the modern... You might have some theory or some science that they'll call, but if it can't be applied, is it actually science? Right? So they'll call it theoretical science and other things just to make themselves feel good. But technically, until you can apply it, how do you know it works? It's not actually scientific. So when you're doing something and it's working according to that, then you call this is scientific. So that means it has to fully go down. So you have the knowledge, you have the art through which it's applied, and you'll have that ability to apply it, that science, you know, when you apply it like this. So again, you'll see is that you have the theory of that, you have the science, you have the art. But the point is it has to be applied. So that's the important thing. Otherwise, science will just be theoretical, which the Vedas isn't into theoretical things. It has to be real, it has to be applicable. Like for us, when we talk philosophy, it's applicable. Yeah.
When it's mentioned in the Krishna book, when Krishna didn't learn science, apparently it mentions only 64 arts. But now,
no, it says arts and science.
It's included in there.
Yes, yes, and also Prabhupada refers to it as arts and sciences.
Yeah.
But it's they know how to use it. You know, what's the practical things to look for? Like you can say is okay, in meteorology, then, you know, you have the movements of the clouds, colors of the clouds, you know, the different kind of other symptoms like that. So that's the general thing. But then you have the practical application is that after the rains, it means after this, the Dasara, it'll be, I think, the 10th, right, of this month. I mean of this, from now to the Purnima. I think it's in there. So after that, then it shouldn't be raining anymore in that. So it'll go into the next season. So then when we start to get, you know, later in the season, then you'll see the clouds are floating around. But they're big puffy clouds, generally. Right? And they're white. Right? You know, now you see they're going towards white, you're just starting to see. But it should be at that time, if you see them, they should look like aquatics. Nice fat aquatics. If they are, that means then in the rainy season you'll have a good rain. But if they're not, then it may not be as good a rain. Right? So it's practical things that you can see and use. So it's the art of being able to understand, and you know, what's an aquatic look like and stuff like that. You know, what's a fat aquatic look like. But the point is, it's a science that you can practically use and apply. Like that. So it's one of the things that Krishna learned. So, yeah. Yes.
The question that you said, it's really focused on what is the principle of Krishna, the detail. So the question is very clear.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, what's the principles of it? Yes. What is the organization of it? Means what sections does it have? What are the details it goes into, and its application? Because you have to have all that. You start from that top, that principle, and you come down. Because you see, when he explains it, it's going to start from this principle. And then it'll come down into the sections, and then the details, but then you have to be able to apply that. Because otherwise, so many times you see is that there's some knowledge that's there, and people get it, but they don't know how to use it. Like that, you know. So the thing is, it has to be able to be used. Right? Please speak to us in detail about it all. Right? Verses 6 to 18. The story behind the origin of Natya Shastra. Hearing these words of the sages, Bharat began in reply to speak thus about the Natya Veda as follows. O Brahmanas, during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu, when the golden age, Satyayuga, passed and the Treta Yuga commenced, where people became addicted to sensual pleasures, right? Yeah. Because before that they were all Paramahamsas, so now you introduce that, so it's like for Paramahamsas, whoa. You know? That's why when Sukadeva describes Kali Yuga, the sages can't even believe it. You know? Because for them it's like gross sense gratifier, you know, he was into his lunch or something, you know, like that. He ate one extra chapati. You know, it's like, woo. Yeah, like that, you know, yeah. Okay, where people became addicted to sensual pleasures, were under the sway of desire and greed, became infatuated with jealousy and anger, and thus found their happiness mixed with sorrow, right? Because before that, it's Paramahamsas, then nobody's unhappy. But they don't have need for Varnashram because there's only Paramahamsas, right? Even if you have kings or this or that, but you don't have to run the system because everybody's just self-satisfied and all that, you know, and live simply and all that. So the demigods with Indra leading them approached Brahma and spoke, "We want an object diversion, which must be audible as well as visual." You know, so they want something that will divert the attention. You know, at means like sports today, you know, like that. "As the Vedas are not to be listened to by those born as Shudras, be pleased to create another Veda which will belong equally to all the groups." Right? So the Shudras, they may not be able to Veda. We need something to uplift the people, but at the same time, they don't want to be left out. So it should be suitable for all people, all the groups. Right? "Let it be so," said Brahma in reply. And then, having dismissed the king of gods, Indra, he resorted to yoga and recalled to mind the four Vedas. He then thought, "I shall make a fifth Veda on the Natya, which will conduce to duty, dharma, wealth, artha, as well as fame, will contain good counsel, collection of traditional maxims, and will give guidance to people of the future as well, in all their actions, will be enriched by the teachings of all authoritative works, shastra, and will give a review of all arts and crafts." End quote. With this resolve, Lord Brahma, from his memory of all the Vedas, shaped this Natya Veda compiled from the four of them. The recitative Patya. He took from the Rig Veda, right? So how you properly pronounce and everything. The song from the Sama. The histrionic representation, Abhinaya, from the Yajur. And Melos, Rasa, from the Atharva. Hmm. So that's how you get Atharva Veda as the original Veda. Or you get the Yajur as the original Veda. Because both of them are mentioned. That the original Veda was called Atharva, or the original Veda was called Yajur. And thus was created the Natyaveda connected with the Veda's principal and subsidiary. Vedo Paveda. By the holy Brahma, who is omniscient. Right? So it comes there. So you see, all these different things are all based on the Veda. So then these Upaparanas, because they're derivative of the Veda, they can be called Upaveda. Just like Purana is the fifth Veda. So if these are then a subsection of that, they can also be called Upaveda. Does that make sense? Just like technically the Puranas are also the fifth Veda.
Now you see that this fifth Veda is very important for persons who are not from Kaya Vyasa.
Like that, because you have, otherwise then they're going to have to figure everything out from the Veda, its rituals, and the Upanishads. You know, Brahmana is like this. And for most people, that's not going to work for them. You know, so you have to have something that's approachable by everybody. So it's not that the Vedas would just be for those who can appreciate it, the, you know, and then the Upavedas are for those who can't appreciate it, and that's it. It should be that it also, because it's connected from Veda, would be appreciated by everyone. Then you give common ground for everyone to work from. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then we see these extensions of the Veda, they become the common ground for everybody to interact. You know, so the Gandharva Veda, the Natya Veda, all these different, you know, the Stapana Veda, Ayurveda, all these things there, the Puranas, the Itihasas, they become the position on which everybody can relate, and everyone can interact. Yes, and everybody can be elevated. That's what he was saying before, is that I shall make a fifth Veda on the Natya, which will be conducive to duty, wealth, as well as fame, will contain good counsel, right? So good direction. And a collection of traditional maxims, you know, so things that are the principles that are there in the Vedas. Will give guidance to people in the future as well. So it's not just it works today, but it should be something that'll always last. That's the point of the Vedas, they always apply. Right? And if they're only for a specific age, it'll mention that. Just like in the Dharma Shastras, Manus for all four ages. Yajnavalkya and Parasara is more specifically for Kali Yuga. Means the other things apply to all ages. Some are only for Satyayuga, or only for Treta, or only for Dwapara. You know, in other words, they will bring out the things how you apply it in that age. You know, you're going to have what's for all four, but in the understanding of how you'd apply it in that age. Does that make sense? But Manu is for all. So there might be something specific, but the future as well means the Vedas, being eternal, then have to always apply. They always have to apply to everyone that's there. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yes. So all these are the fifth Veda. Because they're based on the four. So it's not that you have to have the fifth and the sixth and the seventh, because otherwise then they'll argue over which one is that. They're all the fifth Veda. And that's why each one of them can say, this is very important.
Yes.
But they're very important in the context of how they support. Then, the point is that how they support the Veda. But then for devotees, how it supports Krishna consciousness. Like we said, Prabhupada was showing that it's very important to use this drama, and they can do very nice things. But at the same time, it can't take the prominence over other standard elements of the kirtan, the lecture, the prasad. You know, it has to fit into that. Verses 19 to 54. Brahma's command and Bharat's instructions to his sons. After the creation of the Natya Veda, Brahma said to Indra, "This work, consisting of the Itihasas, has been composed by me. You should get them dramatized and acted by gods. Pass on this Natyaveda to those of the gods who are skillful, learned, bold in speech, and inured to hard work. Because that means if you want to make it in the theater, these are what you have to be. Because you see the very fact that they're skillful, they're learned, they're not just idiots. Like that, they're bold in speech, so that when they bring them for an interview or things like that, they can talk, they're comfortable like that. And they work hard. Everyone sees that they're very hard workers. All these words of Brahma, Indra bowed to him with folded palms and said in reply, "O best and holy one, gods are neither competent to receive it and maintain it, nor are they fit to understand it and to make use of it. They are unfit to do anything with the drama. The sages who know the mystery of the Vedas and have fulfilled their vows are capable of maintaining this Natyaveda and putting it into practice." Right? So it's actually because sometimes these things have to be maintained by the artist, but no, it has to be maintained by those who are situated nicely in the understanding of the philosophy and sadhana. Because it's just to express, and if the effect is to that people will be able to be inspired in their devotional service, it has to be therefore organized by those who are inspired in devotional service. Like a leader is inspired, he can make others inspired. So if they're inspired in their own devotional service, they can make others inspired. If they have faith in the Lord, they can make others. That's why this modern concept, you do this and that, is yes, they're atheists, and they can inspire others to be atheists. But that's not what it's for. Does that make sense? So it's a misuse of the field.
But Maharaj, here it seems that the demigods were not competent.
Because the demigods, they take the social position and duties of kshatriyas. So they could take part, but they wouldn't be able to maintain it and give it direction. Like we're seeing is that, it hasn't brought up now, but that the director of the play is a Brahmin. That's why in contemporary things, if it's a Shudra, it's a real mess, because they'll say, let's do this, yeah, like this and that, and then you do like that, and then you come back the next day, no, I don't like it like that, I think we should do this. And they just keep changing like that. They'll drive everyone nuts until either they have a commitment to it, so they're doing it for something, so they'll do it. Otherwise, they just all quit. Because if the director's a Shudra, you can't work. Because then it's all about him, and wow, when I was, why are you guys, it's just annoying. So it has to be a Brahmin. So that's the thing, is the Brahmins, they learn everything, they teach everything. Just like Dronacharya, he's teaching martial arts, because he can teach it in that proper balanced way. Right? Like that. And so the same way with the Natyaveda. Okay. You understand? So that's the difficulty. Because generally it's left to Shudras to take care of, or artists, but it has to be, they can be part, they'll be the true, but it has to be, the leader has to be Brahminical. So without that, there'll be no sustainability. Because that's his point here, is that they won't be able to maintain it. Right? And even just saying what I've just said now in the last few minutes, for most artists, that would be, if it's like you took a rock and hit him on the head with it. And what do you mean? Oh, like that? How can you say that? It's like, yeah. Yes.
Once I tried to explain Varnashram to artists.
Yeah.
And I was like friendly talking. But the consequence of that was that they posted.
They?
They posted an article.
Oh.
About somebody who is like a Hitler.
A Hitler?
So I took the vow, with these kind of people, because otherwise they would just twist anything.
Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah, because the whole thing, it's about them. Yeah. For them, it's about their expression. And so then if their expression isn't the central point of everything, it's just like when you walk down the street, how many Brahmins do you see? Right? How many Kshatriyas? How many Vaishyas? So who are you seeing? Yes. And so, therefore, amongst those, then, you know, this one's trying to become prominent, and this one, this and that. It's just like you have, let's say, you have a big movie. Who do you see at the discussion? You see the actors. Do you see the guys that run the company? Never. Right? You know, even for the government, most of the time, some minister comes out and talks. You don't see the government. Sometimes, but generally not. Or it's just a specific one. You don't see the rest of them. Like that, you know. You go into the store, big store, you never see the business guys. You know? I mean, if you go to Canal Street, of course you do, because they don't want to pay the extra money for all those guys. Right? So, but other than that, yeah, exactly, you know. So, like, you know. So so yes, you have to be very, very careful how it's discussed, because then you, the easiest way in that is you start that there's people, and then they have all their various, you know, things that they're very expert at, the various, you know, their various arts and sciences that they're very good at. If not, then they can follow someone else who can do that and stuff like that. But now, to organize it, because your general populace, they're not actually, you know, they need economics. They don't know how to arrange it to create an economic culture. So those who can lead in that economic culture for the benefit of society, those are called Vaishyas. Those are the business. Those that, you know, and it needs to be organized to maintain, you know, law and order so that everybody can go about, you know, doing their living their life. That's the administrators. Because, you know, just because you're new business doesn't you understand the country. Like that. So that's another group of persons. And then those who then understand the knowledge behind that and are able to teach it to the next generations, those are your intellectual class. So then you see it's all about the common person, but you're creating the economics for their benefit, you're creating the government for their benefit, and the knowledge for their benefit. You explain it from there, how then they won't feel so bad. But if you start the other way, it's just like, you know, okay, yeah, I'm because they artists always think they're intellectual because they're smart. You know, as I mentioned, what was it before? Brahma, what did it say about them being? Oh, yeah. Skillful, learned, bold in speech, inured to hard work. So they're learned, they're clever. Generally, your best artists are really clever.
Like,
yeah, so smart, yeah. Yeah, you're so different than all the other ones. Anybody who came up from that background, they're always very bold in speech and, you know, have to work very hard and everything like that. So they think that they identify themselves with intellectuals because they can speculate, but, you know, like them. But they're doing it in connection with the senses, while the others, it's just a mental thing. But they can talk together. Does that make sense? So they get bent out of shape if they're not there. And even amongst the artists, those who are more like this is more appreciated, and those who are more into themselves and more, you know, just more sensual and all this, are not as much. You know, they need too much, you know, high maintenance. Like, in that, high maintenance artists are a problem. For those who are low maintenance, that everyone appreciates. Because the low maintenance, that's standard. You have to take care, but it's standard. But if everything for everything you have to take care, it's nothing. You know? Unless the output is so great. There's one, I think it was the head of the music department, the Mysore University. He was talking about a particular artist who was high maintenance. But he was the best. And his point was, is with someone like that, you can tolerate that they're so self-centered and so it's totally always about them and everything's about them and every little thing. And, you know, you didn't put the water bottle in the right place, so when they reached out their hand, it wasn't there. They had to lean like that, and then that's the end of the world, and how am I supposed to work, and this kind of advice, like that. And so, he was saying, but that he's so good, he says, you just have to tolerate. you know, he's so good, you have to respect how good he is. And these things you just take as a side thing, because the art is important and he's the best. So therefore you tolerate these. But at the same time, if someone has that same attitude but doesn't produce so much, you don't have to tolerate as much. You know? Because there's only so much attitude you can have. Once you get to the prima donna level, you've peaked. You know, you can't get more than that. You know? So prima donnas you tolerate because of their level. But if one of the regular dancers is like that, then no, you get another one. So how do you say prima donna? Because I think it's French, no?
It's Italian.
It's Italian.
I think so.
Oh, okay. If it's Italian, then we're not saying it wrong. Yeah. They just said, prima donna.
Yes.
Okay. That's okay.
But the question is, prima donna means next life she becomes Madonna.
Okay.
Could be, because she didn't do so well, you know, socially. Yeah, could be. Yeah, it's just, because prima donna, you just tolerate them. You don't become friends with them. You can't. You know, they're just in their own category. Okay. The sages who know the mystery of the Vedas and have fulfilled their vows, right? So they know the Vedas and they fulfilled their vows. They've done their study and now they've completed that, and at the same time as they're able to maintain those things, right? They are capable of maintaining this. You know, in other words, they'll understand it and be able to explain it to others, and they can put it into practice. They themselves, and they can get others. Brahma then instructs Bharata in the Natya Veda and gives the responsibility to him and his 100 sons to propagate and practice the same. Bharata teaches his sons and assigns different roles to them. Bharata created the dramatic styles, vritti, such as the verbal, bharati, the grand, satvati, and the energetic, arabhati. Energetic, so that means those wallahs from North Africa and into that, then they're energetic.
They also drink that beverage, it's called Arabica.
Oh, yes. Or it's something that's hot, you put chili into it, it's Arabiata. Yeah, so. And inform, yeah, so it's energetic, yeah. And inform Brahma of his work. Brahma then suggested that he pick up the graceful style, Kaishiki, from the dance of Shiva. Right? So you just had these others, three, and so now you picked up Kaishiki. From the dance of Shiva, which is endowed with the gentle Angaharas, movements of limb, and has mellows, rasa, emotional states, bhava, and action as its soul. Right? So he's adding in all these different things. So this, as you can see, is starting from the top. It's starting from the Vedas. Then what from the Vedas can be applied to everybody that can be inspiring, and they'll advance. You know, you don't need all the technical rituals and the mantras and that, but how they can advance and all that. And so then all these things are added in. And so the bhava is action is its soul. So bhava is there, but it has to be performed. Right? Yes.
Actually, the four styles, when there is described in the 22nd chapter, there it's mentioned that they originate from when Lord Vishnu fought with Madhu and Kaitava.
Oh.
So when he was fighting, then all the four styles were present.
Okay.
Origin is that. And here, in the details...
Okay, verbal, because then they always inspire each other with their opening speeches. And okay, yeah.
So that's the origin of the styles. But while applying, then the details how to apply each. And then he picked up when he went to Lord Shiva. And
okay, nice. And action is its soul. So all these things are, you know, the core parts. As this style could not be effectively practiced by humans alone, Brahma created Apsaras, the celestial damsels, from his mind, who were skillful in embellishing drama, and he told them to assist Bharata. But so you see, is that for the Apsaras to take part in these things and sing and dance and do all kinds of wild stuff, then it's just for them, it's just normal. It's standard. It's not a strange thing. So that's why here in this world, then generally you're a little bit careful about women who are actors like that. Does that make sense? So it's just because of that, because it's a different thing here. Their nature is there to express the arts, while here humans, that the nature is to elevate yourself and go back to Godhead. Like that. So it's not that women can't take part in the dramas and that very nicely. It's just that then you have to consider the environment and how it's going. Who's taking part? Who's the audience? Right? Yeah. Yeah, because skillful, learned, bold in speech, and nerd to hard work, then if you're going to have women, they have to have the same qualities. Right? He assigned Svati and his disciples to play on musical instruments, and Gandharva, such as Narada, to sing songs. Thus was the art of Natya created out of the existing art forms. So you had these other art forms, and now they're all put together. So Gandharva Veda means it's music, drama, and dance, but the point is they're all pulled together through the Natya. Does that make sense? So it can be the Gandharva Veda, because these are all the things they deal with, but the Natya is then how they're all applied at once. Verses 54 to 63. The first production of a play. Brahma suggested to Bharata that the Indra Vajotsava, the festival in honor of Indra's killing of demons, would be a suitable occasion to put together a performance employing the principles of the Natya Shastra. Bharata begins the performance with the Nandi, an auspicious benediction, and devises to portray the popular episode of the Samudra Manthana, where the daityas, demons, were subdued by the devatas, demigods. The gods, pleased with the performance, give rewards to Bharata. Vishnu rewards him with a lion's seat. Indra gives him his auspicious banner. And Brahma, a kutilaka, a curved stick to be used by the Vidushak, the clown. Varuna, the deity of water and cosmic order, gives him a golden pitcher, suitable to drink water with. Surya, the sun, gives him an umbrella, which gives shade from the sun. Vayu, the deity of wind, gives him a fan. Shiva, as his very name suggests, awards him with success. Saraswati grants him competence for visual arts. Because you have to, still, it's knowledge and that, and the whole thing, it has to be done properly. So that's why you see some excel, some don't. It's whether they're properly, you know, following these rules or not. Yeah, it's also interesting how everybody gives according to what they work with.
Yes.
You know, like that. So it's just interesting is that I was looking at that from Padma Purana, the glories of the Purushottam month. And so at the end, whatever's the vrata and stuff you're doing, then that's that in line with that. That's also then what is you give in charity. Like the only one that sticks in my mind that I remember because if you're doing a vrata of not shaving, then at the conclusion of that, you know, besides shaving, you give a mirror in charity. You know, because it's about your looks, so then you give something like that. So, you know, because you're shaving, and so now others can shave. You know, so it's funny. Like that. Verses 64 to 75, right? You know, like if you're fasting, you give food, you know, stuff like that. Huh? Chanting? Do kirtan. Do more chanting. That's the nice thing about the direct ones, you just keep doing those. The daitya. Verses 64 to 75. Now comes the problem. Right? Because right now, there hasn't been a theater, it's just been a drama. Right? The anger of the daityas. The daityas, mainly the vignas, who are also audience. Yeah, I guess you could say. Also audience to the staging of the play by Bharata, took it too realistically, and forgetting that it was merely an artistic portrayal of a historic event, they disputed the play. Angered by this, Indra hurled his flagstaff at the daityas and smashed their assault. Since then, the flagstaff is called the Jarjara, deriving from the Sanskrit word for smashed. Is that why the guy's face is so flat? Well, okay. The mythical staff is even to this day mythical. It's not mythical. You got to catch those. Yeah, I would just say Indra's staff is even to this day used in its modified form by actors and is worshipped before a traditional stage play to ward off evil, Vigna. Yeah, Vigna Vinashana is the name of Nrsingadev. Vigna, too. This episode subtly cautions Koinasur? How do you say that?
Yes.
Koinasur? Okay. Koinasur. Okay. No emphasis. Koinasur. Okay. About the responsibility of having a detached attitude while witnessing a play or any work of art in general. Emotional over-involvement and extrapolation of the incidents to everyday life will cause harm to both the art and the connoisseurs. Right? So just like when you were explaining it to the... A little bit better, okay. More precisely, when the bhavas do not get elevated to the level of rasa in a connoisseur's mind, due to his lack of maturity, art cannot be enjoyed. Right? So the connoisseur is someone who is going to be interested in art, you know, like that. But it's still, there must be some maturity that they're able to appreciate the rasa and all that. Right? Because otherwise they may only appreciate a certain thing, but it should be more broad. You know? Like someone could be a connoisseur in a particular kind of food. But generally a connoisseur will be all food, if it's cooked properly. You know, so they like a particular food, but any food that was cooked nice, they could appreciate it. You know, just like you see with the Michelin stars. You know, it's not just in Europe. They're also like, I think there's a fast food place in Hong Kong that has a star because it's just so good. And, you know, just any of these kind of foods, because generally it never went to such a thing. You know, because before it was the tire company, they produce tires. So how do you sell more tires? People drive. Why should they drive? There's a nice place to go to. You go to a nice place, you want to eat. So then the company itself went around to the restaurants in Europe and then gave stars according to, you know, if they were really exceptional. So then you knew if you're driving to this place or that, you go to these places. And so the Michelin stars, it means the Michelin tire company. Like that. Yeah. And so it was to encourage people to drive. Yes. Yeah, so then we see as the first, so a riot happened, you know, the demons are being defeated and they got so into it, hey, what is this, why are you like this, and then, you know, so Indra had to stop the riot there. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.